Chapter 22, Befriending People with BPD. In this chapter, looking for early warning signs of BPD, seeing the more serious symptoms, tossing out a lifeline and saving yourself, handling serious threats, dealing with guilt when ending a BPD relationship. We've never seen a person with borderline personality disorder, BPD, wear a t-shirt that announces to the world, "I have BPD." Okay, one or two of those shirts are probably around somewhere, but they're definitely not a common sight. Come to think of it, maybe we could design one and make millions. Or maybe not. Thousands, if not millions, of people function in this world without divulging their diagnoses to coworkers and even friends. People with BPD don't necessarily stand out in a crowd. They look the same as everyone else. After all, they don't have any outward physical signs of the disorder, and many days, in many situations, they don't act differently than other people either. At first, people with BPD generally don't have major social problems. As a matter of fact, sometimes they're especially charming and interesting. Often, a person befriends someone with BPD without having an inkling that he or she has a personality disorder. Later, events and emotions often turn in totally unexpected directions. In this chapter, we take a look at the first signs of BPD within a friendship. We explore some of the issues that can become more serious and problematic. Then we supply some pointers on how to help your friend without falling into the dangerous rapids yourself. Finally, we look at how to handle serious threats to the safety of you or someone you care about, and how to end a relationship with someone with BPD if you decide to do so. Recognizing warning signs of BPD. The sooner you detect signs of BPD in a new friend, the better off you are. Recognizing that a friend has BPD early in your relationship may help you avoid making excessive commitments and/or becoming enmeshed in a friendship that can engulf your entire life. Remember, in case you're wondering, we aren't suggesting that you avoid any relationship with someone who has BPD, but we do suggest that you learn as much as you can about the disorder and its effect on the people who have it. If you know what you're getting into before you get heavily involved in a relationship with someone with BPD, you can set limits, learn not to take everything personally, and decide how involved you want to be. So, what signs should you look for in a new friendship? The following warning signs can help you determine whether or not you want to take your new relationship a little more slowly than you have taken other relationships. Too close. Your new friend self-discloses unusually intimate details early in the relationship. Too much flattery. You know you're a good person and everything, but when a new friend starts slinging out flattery like slop to a pig, you may have a problem. Don't be beguiled by praise. Too much time. You like spending a lot of time with a new friend, but you, like most folks, have a pretty busy life. Be wary about requests for more contact with you than your previous friends have wanted. Too much texting or phoning. Yeah, our kids text a lot. And sometimes we do it too. But a new friend with BPD may be inclined to text you 40 times a day. Be careful with this excessive contact. Too probing. You want to share your life with friends, but not all your friends, and trust should evolve slowly over time. If your new friend asks you too many personal questions early on, heed the warning sign. Unreliable. Someone with BPD often cancels or arrives late for events, dates, get-togethers, and so on. This issue isn't a big deal unless it occurs chronically. If a new friend frequently cancels dates, understand that this behavior signals a lack of respect for your time. Always canceling or arriving late can also be a sign of narcissistic personality disorder. See Chapter 3 for more information about this and other personality disorders. Too critical. Most people with BPD don't criticize a friend excessively in the beginning of a new relationship. However, if your newfound friend indulges in a lot of harsh criticism of other friends or past relationships, ask yourself whether you may be next. Long history of broken friendships. If you seem to be the only friend this person has at the moment, and if your friend recounts numerous past friends, you have to wonder, right? Warning. The preceding list of warning signs is by no means a method for diagnosing your friends. These signs are solely characteristics that can lead to trouble in your new relationship at some point. A true diagnosis of BPD requires a mental health professional. If you've gotten into a friendship that exhibits several of the preceding warning signs, we recommend that you consult with such a professional. Becca's story shows how easily someone can slip into a destructive relationship with someone who has BPD. Becca has never known someone with this disorder before and finds herself ensnared by something she doesn't understand. Becca notices Amber standing by herself at the trailhead. Becca has been a member of the outdoor singles group for a while. Recalling how hard getting involved is at first, she walks over to Amber and introduces herself. Amber smiles broadly and tells her how nervous she feels about joining a singles group. "My divorce was finalized last week, so here I am," Amber says. "I'm hoping to meet a whole new group of friends. My ex-husband has convinced everyone we know that I'm crazy and that I drink too much. So not only did I lose my marriage, but I also lost every single one of my friends." Becca replies, "I'm sorry to hear that. You can be sure that you'll meet lots of people here. We try to mix up our activities. Sometimes we hike locally, and we do a lot of volunteer work fixing up trails. Some of us ski in the winter, too." "Becca," Amber gives her a hug, "I'm so glad I met you. I know we're going to be best friends. Would you walk with me a ways so we can talk? I really need to tell you something."
"Sure, Amber," Becca says, a little caught off guard. "I'll make sure that I introduce you to some of the others. What do you need to tell me?"
"Well," Amber begins, "I thought you should know who my ex-husband is, in case there's any trouble."
"Oh my God, Amber, did he abuse you?"
"No, but he got pretty mad. He's an attorney, a very prominent attorney, and he was really mad at me. You see, when we were together, well, the sex was pretty good, but he worked crazy hours, and you know what happens? I got bored and lonely, too. So I was out one night and met a guy. Then, you know, we started seeing each other. Buddies, you know. Nothing serious. Then my ex found out. I told him it was meaningless sex, that I still loved him. But then he got so mad that I couldn't help it. I ended up telling him about the other affairs I had while he was working. He had no right to divorce me. I was a good wife. Don't you agree, Becca?"
Becca isn't sure she really agrees with Amber, but she says,
"Well, I guess we all have problems."
Amber grabs her hand. "I knew you'd understand. How about we go out after the hike and get a few drinks? Look at that guy over there. He's cute. How many of these guys have you had sex with?"
Becca feels a tad uneasy, but likes going out for drinks with new friends. So she says,
"Sure, that sounds like fun. I'm not sure how many guys I've had sex with, but not all that many."
Over the next few weeks, Becca starts spending more and more time with Amber, and her disquieting feelings grow. She's not sure what to do. Becca didn't know where to take this relationship. Amber got too close too fast, and she spilled unusually intimate details about her life to a stranger. Finally, she flattered Amber by saying, "I know we're going to be best friends." If Becca had known what to look for and recognized the warning signs in Amber's behaviors, she might have had a better idea of what to do in this situation. For instance, she might not have gone out for drinks with her after the hike. Or she might have trusted her uneasy feelings and ended the relationship before it started.
Tip: if a new acquaintance comes on strong like Amber, you may decide to start a new friendship anyway. However, we recommend that you proceed slowly and cautiously. If you agree to a friendship, you'll probably want to set some limits early on. For example, don't set up frequent get-togethers, and be cautious about what you share with your new friend about your personal life. Detecting serious symptoms. You may have found a new, seemingly best friend and not seen any signs of a personality disorder. Or perhaps you ignored the signs. Or maybe your friend was better than most at keeping her issues out of view at first. Some people with BPD become quite adept at hiding their issues, although in time, their attempts inevitably fail. Someone or something will eventually trigger your new friend's BPD symptoms. The trigger can be something as simple as you don't have enough time to spend with your friend one day, which leads to your friend to fear abandonment. Or it may be a mix-up in communication that cascades into rage and anger. The one exception is the person with BPD who has emerged from highly successful treatment, in which case, he doesn't have anything to hide anymore. Check out Chapter 3 for more detailed information about the array of serious symptoms that folks with BPD exhibit. At some point in your relationship, your friend starts down a path strewn with reprehensible behavior. You feel yourself swirling downward, sucked in by an enormous whirlpool fueled by inexplicable behaviors, guilt, worry, and confusion. Never fear. We're about to toss you a lifeline. The following list covers many of the serious signs of BPD. See the next section for ideas about how to deal with these nefarious symptoms. Excessive demands. Now, we're talking serious demands here. For example, your friend may start out by merely asking for a few more favors than most of your other friends do. But then the requests escalate into more intense demands, such as calls in the middle of the night to deal with serious emotional distress, or a demand that you take your friend to the emergency room to avert a suicide attempt. Expectations that you choose aside. People with BPD have many conflicts in their intimate relationships, so watch out if your friend bombards you with details about these conflicts and asks you to take his side. Remember, people with BPD often misreport what's going on in their relationships because of their tendency to see people as all good or all bad. Don't get sucked into taking their side in conflicts with their intimate partners. You weren't there, so you can't know what happened. Unexpected anger or rage. Many people with BPD have trouble regulating their emotions. Small issues quickly escalate into outbursts. Substance abuse. A lot of people like to drink socially. Moderation is often difficult for people with BPD. Be wary of friends who get drunk frequently or who use dangerous drugs. Medication abuse is also common in people with BPD. Unnecessary risks. If your friend is a reckless driver, engages in highly risky sports, or does anything that frightens you, these behaviors may be results of their BPD disorder. Don't be seduced into joining them. Self-harm. If your friend engages in self-destructive behaviors, such as cutting, burning, or purposely self-inflicting any other kind of pain, your friend has a serious problem. Threats of suicide fall into this self-harm category, and you shouldn't trivialize them. Warning. If your friend threatens suicide, make sure that he sees a professional right away. If he refuses to get help, deciding how serious his threat isn't up to you. Call 911 for help. Handling friends with BPD. So, what should you do if your friend has been diagnosed with BPD, or if he or she shows serious signs like the ones in the preceding section? Basically, dealing with a friend with BPD falls into two categories: what you can do and what you can't do. What you can do. A friend with BPD can be funny, kind, enthusiastic, bright, and interesting. You may want to maintain a relationship with a friend with BPD because he exhibits those qualities. But that same friend may also seem to take advantage of you and involve you in situations that seem unhealthy. To stay friendly, but to stop feeling stepped on, consider the following points. Be calm. A friend with BPD is likely to provoke you from time to time with obnoxious behavior. See Chapter 3 for a full list of potential symptoms and problematic behaviors associated with BPD. If you get irritable or angry, you only make things worse. Being calm, on the other hand, can communicate a good message to your friend. Remaining calm, however, doesn't mean you can't set reasonable limits or boundaries with your friend. Set reasonable boundaries. Know what your personal limits are. Sometimes people with BPD can make you think your limits are excessive, if not a little crazy. If you find yourself confused about your own rights and limits as a friend, ask someone who doesn't have BPD for feedback. Another good way to evaluate your boundary decisions is to ask yourself what you tell someone else in your situation. After you know what's reasonable, say it and stick with it. Waffling only invites abuse. Remind yourself that your friend isn't intentionally malicious. People with BPD don't consciously and methodically set out to anger or hurt you. BPD has deep roots in childhood, culture, and biology. People don't choose to develop BPD. Thus, you want to depersonalize your friend's obnoxious behavior. Remember that it's not about you. Keep your expectations reasonable. Of course, you want to appreciate your friend's positive qualities, but you also have to expect a certain degree of criticism, disapproval, rejection, and unpredictability. As we describe in a preceding bullet, you need to know what's acceptable to you and when you see something that isn't. Know how you want to respond. You can't expect people with BPD to demonstrate only their positive qualities all the time. Think about what information to share. You may have a few trusted friends with whom you feel comfortable sharing your most deeply held secrets. In general, we don't recommend that degree of openness and trust with someone who has BPD. Unfortunately, the impulsivity associated with BPD, see chapters 3 and 5 for more information on this particular symptom, is likely to lead to breaches of trust. People with BPD may sincerely agree to keep something confidential, but they often find themselves talking without thinking later on. The following story about Haley and Michelle demonstrates the kind of limit setting you may need to do with a friend who has BPD. Haley has been good friends with Michelle for many years. They work downtown and often meet for lunch. Although Michelle has BPD, she's constantly striving to work on her issues and has been in therapy for the past 4 years. Haley works out 3 times a week at a local gym. One day at lunch, Michelle asks Haley if she can start working out with her. Haley agrees. Over the course of the next few months, Michelle frequently cancels at the last minute, and when she does show up, she's chronically late. At other times, Michelle asks Haley to change her gym schedule to accommodate her, and Haley usually tries to do so. But Haley feels annoyed and starts to avoid Michelle. Then Haley reevaluates her commitment and friendship with Michelle. She thinks about some of Michelle's positive qualities, such as her great sense of humor, her willingness to help when needed, and her political knowledge. However, she realizes that she needs to set limits with her friend about the gym so that she doesn't reject her. Haley decides that she'll stick to her gym schedule and not count on Michelle to show up. She tells Michelle that to keep herself healthy, she needs to go to the gym 3 times a week at certain times. If Michelle is late, Haley will go on without her. If Michelle wants to change the day and time, Haley probably won't go along unless it's really convenient for her. Michelle feels angry about Haley's limit setting, but she agrees. not having any other real choice. Haley later sets limits with Michelle about several other issues in their relationship. If you have a friend with BPD, carefully consider the issues that you could improve by setting limits like Haley did. You can't expect the moon from your friend, but you certainly have the right to stand up for yourself, to not accept abuse, and to not allow someone else to consistently trample your time and schedule. Remember, friendships are two-way streets. You may not receive as much from a friend who has BPD as you do from your other friends, but you have to get something positive from the relationship for it to be healthy. Friendships are choices. If you feel trapped by a friendship, talk with a friend, a spiritual advisor, or even seek therapy for yourself to figure out what's going on. What you can't do. People with BPD often seek support from others whenever they can. They have chronic, deep emotional distress and desperately look for relief. In many cases, asking friends for special favors and advice isn't unusual. Sometimes they even plead with their friends to intervene on their behalf in conflicts. As the friend of someone with BPD, you can easily find yourself feeling engulfed by the friendship and feeling intense guilt about not always being there for your friend. We cover what you can do to help maintain a relationship with someone with BPD in the previous section, and now we offer some advice about what to avoid in that same friendship. Don't be your friend's therapist. In general, you want to help your friends. You probably even give advice to your friends on occasion, but we're going to give you some advice. Don't let yourself take on the role of your friend's therapist. Even when you think you know what your friend should do, don't offer that advice because people with BPD need much more than suggestions for what to do. When you start acting like a therapist, you soon find yourself overwhelmed and drained. Don't mediate between someone with BPD and others. People with BPD get in numerous conflicts with other people, coworkers, spouses, partners, and friends. And when they do, they try to gather support for their cause. They may ask you to intervene on their behalf or serve as a mediator. Don't agree to such requests. You're probably not a trained mediator anyway, and as a friend, you can't bring objectivity and neutrality to the table. The following story about Brandon and Peter illustrates how people with BPD can convince their friends to intervene in their personal problems. Brandon jumps into trying to help his friend Peter and later regrets it. Remember that the situation is rarely as black and white as someone with BPD describes it to be. Brandon and Peter sit next to each other at the new employee orientation for physician assistants. Peter is changing jobs to be closer to home, and Brandon is a new graduate. By the end of the day, they discover that they're both avid golfers. They exchange phone numbers and set up a golf date for the following week. Brandon and Peter's friendship grows quickly, despite family obligations and busy schedules. One day after golf, Peter shares with Brandon that he's having trouble with his wife. Surprised, Brandon asks him what's going on. Peter tells Brandon, "I give my wife everything, but it isn't enough. She wants me to agree to a big house. We can't afford it, but she won't listen to me." Brandon is pretty sure he knows how much money Peter makes, because they're both in the same position at the same hospital. He asks Peter, "What does she want? A mansion?" "No, she wants a 4-bedroom house with a family room for the kids," Peter replies. "Well, you should be able to afford that with your salary and bonuses, Peter," Brandon says. "I could, but she has a spending problem. As a matter of fact, she's out of control. Brandon, would you consider talking to her? I just can't get through to her at all, and she respects you," Peter pleads. "Gosh, Peter, I'd feel pretty funny talking to your wife about her spending, and I'm not sure what I would say," Brandon answers. Peter responds, "You just have to tell her that she shouldn't be looking at new houses in this economy. You might tell her a bit about budgeting. Nothing deep, that's all." Brandon reluctantly agrees. Peter's wife is angry that her husband discussed their problems outside the marriage. First, she tells Brandon that it's none of his business. Then, she tells him that this isn't the first time that Peter has used his friends to address their marriage problems. During the conversation with Peter's wife, Brandon learns that Peter has a serious gambling problem and that he has been diagnosed with BPD. Brandon doesn't know who to believe. He regrets ever getting involved. Peter, like many people with BPD, sometimes manipulates people to solve his personal problems. He doesn't tell the entire truth, and Brandon finds himself in over his head. Thus, you should avoid getting in the middle of your friends' conflicts, even when they make you feel guilty or responsible. Dealing with dangerous situations. When you're friends with someone with BPD, you may rarely see the darker times. People with BPD sometimes keep their symptoms hidden from certain people for long periods of time. However, the closer your friendship becomes, the more likely your friend with BPD is to let his true feelings show. The most difficult and frightening times are those in which your friend with BPD threatens to hurt or kill himself. How do you manage to help your friend without getting hurt yourself? The following points can help. Know that self-mutilation and suicide threats are common symptoms of BPD. You're not responsible for your friend's pain. Tell your friend that you understand that he's hurting and that the threat of hurting himself is part of his disorder. Attempt to distract your friend and encourage him to do something that has helped him in the past. Stay disconnected. Don't get emotional or try to use logic to figure out the situation. Refuse to witness the self-abuse or mutilation. Get help. If you feel that your friend may act dangerously, call for help. If your friend has a therapist, start there. Don't wait this out. Your friend has made a threat, and you have to take him seriously. Don't hesitate to call the police if you're fearful for your friend's life. Get information and education about BPD. Start by listening to the rest of this book. If you decide to stay in the friendship, consider joining a support group for families and friends of people with mental disorders, such as National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, NAMI. For more information on this group, check out NAMI.org. Ending a BPD relationship. If you are in a relationship with someone who has BPD, you may decide to pull the plug on the relationship at some point. Your friend may have worn you out with demands and requests for advice and help, or he may have drained you dry with drama day in and day out. If you do decide to end the relationship, you may wonder how to do so, and you may wrestle with guilt over abandoning someone who has so many needs. We cover these issues in the next two sections. Making your exit. You can probably think of countless ways to leave a friendship. After all, Paul Simon came up with a whopping 50 ways to leave a lover. His point was that any method works, and that's true when you're leaving someone with BPD too. But we offer a few specific words of advice to keep in mind when you decide to end a relationship with a friend who has BPD. Make the message short and clear. Don't recite a laundry list of reasons. Someone with BPD isn't likely to hear or process it anyway. Don't reason with your friend. The moment you say you're ending the friendship, your friend won't be able to listen to logic or reasoning. Tell your friend in a public place. This piece of advice may seem a little unfair. After all, your friend may feel emotional and be embarrassed to express himself in front of others. However, you're safer when people are around. If you're absolutely certain that your friend has no history of rage or violence, you can consider a private conversation. Writing a letter is okay, especially if your friend has ever shown rage or other signs of potential for violence. You can communicate in writing. Don't waffle. After you've made the decision to end the relationship, don't let your friend talk you out of it. People with BPD hate feeling abandoned, so your friend may try out all sorts of ways to convince you to remain friends. Remind yourself beforehand that you've made your decision and that you will stick to it, no matter what your friend says or does. Waffling will only prolong the pain for both of you. Remain calm. Your friend may become very emotional, whether it be tears, fears, or anger. You may want to practice what you'll say and how you'll say it by yourself or with another friend before your confrontation. Don't go back later. Your friend may surprise you and remain calm, accepting what you have to say. In this kind of situation, the temptation to reconsider may increase. Perhaps your friend will attempt to reconnect in a few weeks or months. Again, if your reasons for ending the relationship were sound, don't be swayed to re-enter the relationship. Remember, ending friendships is never a fun thing to do, but you have a right to expect a friendship to make you feel good. Don't let a friendship make you feel miserable. After all, life's too short for that. Wrangling with guilt. Most people who decide to end any friendship feel a certain amount of guilt in doing so, but those who end relationships with people with BPD feel especially guilty because they recognize that their friends need a lot of help. They may think that they were just as responsible for encouraging and fostering the relationship as their friend with BPD was, and that may be true. But even when you played an important role in bringing this person into your life, you aren't forever beholden to your friend. Consider the following points. You probably didn't realize your friend had BPD when the relationship began. Even if you did, you likely didn't foresee the destructive impact the friendship had on your life. You have a right to friendships that don't leave you in a constant state of worry. Even if your friend with BPD has done many wonderful things for you, you can't conclude that you owe that person a lifelong friendship in return. Many people with BPD are skilled at extending themselves in extraordinary ways to their friends, especially at the beginnings of relationships. But they all too often inflict an inordinately large emotional toll in other ways at the same time. Your guilt may boil over if your friend threatens self-harm or suicide when you try to end the relationship. Please realize that such threats amount to emotional blackmail. You can't hold yourself responsible for someone else's self-destructive behavior. Consult with a therapist if you feel overwhelmed in your relationship or in ending it. Also, listen to the Dealing with Dangerous Situations section earlier in this chapter. Remember, we're not recommending that you end a relationship with someone who has BPD in all cases. Some of these friendships provide a reasonable balance of good and bad qualities, but truly feel worth it overall. If you're struggling with making the decision whether or not to end a relationship, consider filling out a cost-benefit analysis form.